Father, thank you and I bless you in Jesus' name. We are here to receive, and not only to receive, but our eyes to be open to who we are, that we can function effectively. Amen. Just put your hands like this, lift them up, and say, Lord, give me an encounter. Say, Lord, give me an encounter. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's the tradition I have, and the Lord gave me that tradition that I should get people to have an encounter. There has been really a concern in my heart and a worry in my heart, probably. I don't know if I'm using the right word, but it has been a concern. And the concern is for the church, the body of Christ as a whole, that as much as we are all over, a lot of churches, it looks like there isn't as much transformation of cities as it's supposed to. And I found out that I've met a lot of people that know a lot of scriptures and really have memorized them, and still nothing goes on. And I realized that sometimes we can be dedicated to teachings, and then we find out that we are doctrinal people who have no encounter. And if we don't have encounters, our mind will never be renewed. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse number 39, he said, you search the scriptures, and in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me, and you refuse to come to me so that you may have life. And when he said that, it came to a point whereby I realized many a times we go to the scripture searching for so many things and forgetting to realize that they reveal Jesus. And until we have the revelation of Jesus, our lives will not change. We will be good Christians, just wonderful Christians. And then we come up with words like, why do bad things happen to good people? Hello? Always realize this. Christianity is not a journey of disciplines. Christianity is a journey of passion. And when you're passionate about something, discipline just follow. But when you start by making it a journey of disciplines, you become religious. Because you're always looking at what you're doing wrong, what you're not doing wrong and stuff. So you never pour out your heart to the one you love. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And throughout, ever since I've known these two guys, hello, I mean, they're crazy, you know. I thought we should take them to Riverside one time. You know where Riverside is? There's a hospital called Riverside. They have a psych ward. And I realized that... I realized that they were not crazy. It was the normal way of living as a Christian. It is abnormal as Christians not to live the life of miracles. It's abnormal. It is... The life of miracles is supposed to be the normal life of a Christian. We are called to invade the impossible. Not for the cookie cutter stuff. Yeah, we are called to invade what? The impossible. And then what has happened is many a times we have blamed the devil for so many things. And for God to realize that we have a problem of unbelief. So the more we believe in the devil, the more we increase unbelief towards God. So we turn our belief in the enemy. So every time our belief is the enemy, that unbelief undermines our faith in God. So every time we pray, we are in our mind just saying, well, let's hope it happens. Let's just hope it happens someday, you know. Let's hope it happens. And you're not going to get anything with it. Let's hope it will happen.
Amen. Come on.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So So God said to me, he said, for a man's mind to be renewed, they must have encounters. You must have a revelation. In other words, I always say this, a revelation without an encounter can only birth religion. That means there must be a touch. How many people have you known that have so much revelation, but there's nothing going on in their lives? Because the scripture says, freely you have received, freely give. You can only give what you have received. Peter comes and he sees a man by the beautiful gate. He says, silver and gold I don't have. Such as I have, I give to you. Rise up and walk. So the man understood, Peter understood that he has the ability and the power of God in his life to heal the man to stand up and walk. So he could only give what he had. Hello? So understand this. The church, I'm happy. I've been happy throughout the years that the church is praying for the sick, but it is time to heal the sick. Somebody say it's time to heal the sick. Now, everybody say, well, you have to go. God will heal the sick as you go. Yeah, we know God heals the sick. But I don't think I read that God says, go heal the sick. He said, go and heal the sick. What did he say? Go and heal the sick. We know it's God who does it. But when you read the Bible, Jesus said, go. And he don't say, I will heal the sick through you. He said, go and heal the sick. So that means it requires something. Because on your own flesh, you cannot heal the sick. So it requires something, which Sandy was talking about when she was there, relationship with him.
Yes.
And understanding of really who God has made you to be. Hello? The full revelation of who God has made you to be. Every time I keep on reading the scripture, I keep on encountering the Lord, and He keep on changing my life. He keep on transforming my life and seeing things how He sees them. Here is the problem. The Bible says we move from glory to glory. Why is it that it looks like today we experience glory and then tomorrow is something different? Because why do we have to go back? Hello? This book has principles in it, the principles of God. But the principles, obeying them and doing them out of the flesh, they're not going to produce much for you. Because you are trying to take the standard of God, bringing it down to your human level. When really you are supposed to rise up to the standard of God. Hello? So, when we use the word repent does not mean ask for forgiveness of your sins. There's a difference between asking for forgiveness of sins and repent. Repent simply is return back to the mind of God, to the mind of Christ. Have the perspective of God. That means return to something that you used to be. Get the mind of God back and look at things through the perspective of the Almighty God. Because if you see it as just asking forgiveness all the time, you'll always say that, I hear this. I'm just a sinner. I'm just a worm and stuff like that. That's an insult to the cross. You're not a sinner. Once you're saved, you are a saint. Somebody say, I'm a saint. It will liberate you so that you don't try to work too hard to gain something. You simply leave yourself in the hands of God to begin to lead you and to guide you and to direct you. Many a times, what do? We try to help the Holy Ghost. And that's a tough one. Somebody say amen. Now, I'm going to probably share something here in a little while here. Amen. Which is wonderful. You know, just being aware of the presence of God, being conscious of God all the time. So have you ever thought of this? The Bible says you are supposed to possess the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. Hello? So if you possess the mind of Christ, that means you possess the mind of God. So if Jesus lives in you, have you ever wondered, if you work with the consciousness of everything I touch, it is not me touching it, but God is touching it. Everything I think, everything I speak is not me speaking it, but it's God speaking it. And you walk with that such confidence. Do you know how many miracles will happen around your life? Hello? Somebody say amen. Do you realize how many miracles will happen around your life? So many things will change around your life. A lot of things will change around your life. The reason why you keep going back and doing the wrong things is because you are you have this human thing trying to correct yourself to be good. And you use the flesh and you burn out along the way. And you feel like, this is just too much. I cannot do it. And then you keep on falling back and falling back and falling back. Hello? Christianity, it's impossible trying to attain it by flesh. But when you leave yourself in the hands of God, when you leave yourself in the hands of God, what happens? It becomes easier. It becomes smooth. Hallelujah. So how many of you love the Lord?
Oh, yes.
You really do. Are you sure about that?
Yes.
I mean, really, are you sure about that? Because, you know, I found people that say they love the Lord, but they try to use the human man type kind of love and say they love the Lord. And what happens is they have the tendency of doing so much thinking they will impress God. Hello? I always said, I had this saying a long time ago, and I said, every time you try to, you know, every time you try to love God before you first know how much, or before you first have the revelation of how much He loves you, you're going to get frustrated. So every one of us has to get to a place where we really, I mean, it's good to tell you that Jesus loves you, He died for you on the cross and stuff like that. I'm giving you theory. But you need an encounter. You need the tangibility of that love whereby nobody can convince you otherwise. The salvations we have today, as much as it's wonderful to get up front and begin to say, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and person and stuff like that, and people keep on backsliding. But the thing is, every man who has had an encounter with God during the time of their salvation, it is not because a preacher said, but I know that I know. Paul wouldn't have said the preacher said, because on the road to Damascus, he had an encounter, and nobody could tell him otherwise. He would simply look them in the eye and say, listen, you can say whatever you want to say. I know what I know, that I was on the road, the heavens opened, and there was an encounter. Yeah. And nobody can tell me otherwise. So that gives him something that helps him to make a pursuit that is not based on guesswork, that is based on a touch directly from heaven. And his Christianity becomes different from everybody, from different kind of people, because he has a landmark when he first got saved that this is real. This is not something the preacher spoke from the podium. So in other words, when a Pastor Josh comes here on a Sunday afternoon and preach to you, it is not just enough that you had. You have to engage into a position whereby you get to God and say, I heard what the Pastor Josh said, but I need an encounter. It's on that. Every time Jesus preached, the disciples always came back to him and say, we need more than what you just gave us this afternoon.
Come on now.
Am I making sense to you?
Yes, really.
Hello? If you are really interested in having encounters, every word that this man speaks when he stands here, it's life and it's spirit. And you need the tangibility of that word. That means when the word was given to you on Sunday, throughout the week, God spoke to you, and that's what you're supposed to experience. And you don't let anything and circumstances to do what? To move you away from what God said to you that week. I have this thing, and I talk to intercessors about this, and I say, if you want to be successful in your intercession, you don't pray anything apart from what was preached on Sunday. Because if you pray something totally different, it's a fight within the house. There's division. Because the pastor say, this is the direction we are taking. And intercessor said, Pastor, you can go wherever you want. We think this is the direction we are supposed to take.
Come on.
Do I make any sense? So we find people going two different directions, whereas we're supposed to follow that which God has given that man. If Pastor spoke about this week, that means everybody in that house is in line, is in agreement, is what he's been said. And we pray that through that week until we have an experience of that which was spoken. Otherwise, we're going to have so many messages without experiences and encounters, and we tend to be religious. Am I making sense to you?
Yes, amen.
Hello? Or am I just running my mouth? Praise the Lord. Am I making sense to you?
Yes.
You want to experience breakthrough in your life. Now, let me say this to you. God knows what you need. God knows what your problem is. Hello? You might think you have a financial problem. And when you show up here, Pastor Josh preaches about something that has nothing to do with finances. And if you go home and forget what Pastor Josh said, and you skip on running and trying to pray for finances, you miss out, because maybe the reason why finances are not coming is because you have not aligned what Pastor Josh has spoken about. If you get that right, everything falls into place. So God knows what really the problem is in your life. And many times we think we know what our problem is more than God. He created you. He knows you. He knows where you are. Hello? We think we know more than he does. And how do we think we know more than he does? Because usually our flesh tends to speak to us more than God does. We tend to obey our flesh more than God. We tend to obey our circumstances more than God. So we have this tendency of trying to get God to be subject to the voice of our circumstances. And it looks like as much as we try to pray concerning our circumstances, it looks like God is not answering, because you're not going to get God to be subject to what you think he must listen to. That's why sometimes, as much as prayers are offered, people don't see breakthrough. Because God is not going to be subject to whatever you're trying to tell him that things are like this. He knows what your problem is. And since he knows what your problem is, he's always going to address you on what your problem is. And many a times he will use your pastor. You believe in your pastor, don't you?
Yes.
You believe in your pastor, don't you? You believe he's not going to stand here and tell you a lie.
Right.
So if you believe in him and you believe that he has a walk with God and you believe that he listens to God and he walks with God, you've got to understand that every time he stands here to speak, it is not him speaking, but it is God speaking. Because Jesus said, the words that come out of my mouth, they are not mine. They are the words of the one who sent me. I say what I hear my Father say. So he knows you know, he is the manufacturer. You are the product. So he knows when you are out of line. So he knows what to fix. And many a times you think you know what to fix. How many of you know that when people go to the doctor, they really don't know what their problem is? They think they do, but they really don't know what they're doing, you know. They talk about the symptoms. They talk to the doctor about the symptoms. So the doctor, out of the symptoms, had to diagnose really what the problem is. Hello? So many a times when you go to God, you're talking about symptoms. And when he diagnoses, he shows you what the problem is. And sometimes, how many of you there are people, you know that there are people who argue with doctors? Like, no, that is not my problem. I know this. And the doctor said, I know what I'm doing. And this is sometimes what we do with God. We argue with God back and forth. And we find out that we waste so much time in the process. Until a life of Christianity that doesn't have breakthroughs, that doesn't have miracles, we end up just sitting down to become religious, hoping one day we will get to heaven. Hello?
Amen.
I mean, we are waiting for the great escape.
I love it.
Hallelujah. We're waiting for the great escape. That one day, in a twinkling of an eye, we will get out of this place, and then we'll be caught up in the air, and we'll be gone without paying your bills. Without paying your debt. Hallelujah. One day we're going to get out of here. That's what people do. One day we're going to get out of here. Let me share something with you. When you're a Christian and you don't experience breakthroughs, you start taking joy in forms. If you pray more and more and more without breakthroughs, you start taking joy in the form of prayer. So you start exalting the form, which is religious. You become religious. You lack the form without power. The joy is supposed to come as a result of breakthroughs. Hello? So when we just pray and pray and we end up just being this good prayer people and everybody knows us by prayer without breakthroughs, we have now relegated the whole Christianity into a form. So we take joy in that form. Am I making sense here? Yeah. So we have to get to a place where we realize that every time I kneel down and I pray, this is just wonderful to pray, but there is a result I'm looking forward to. And I'm receiving it, and I'm in expectation to see the manifestation of it. Hello? This is how it is. When we don't have breakthroughs, we end up in form and we become just Christian people, just run around and we are just good people and wonderful people. I mean, I tell people this. They say, why do bad things happen to good people? I say, well, it's because the church has just settled for to raising good people. When God wants warriors, When God looks at evil people, warriors don't cry and say, why do bad things happen to people? Everything that it looks bad, they thrive in it because it gives them the opportunity to manifest the power of God and the glory of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Here's
how you look at things. Whatever looks like a problem, you must no longer look at it as a problem. See it as an opportunity for a miracle. That means a miracle is hidden in what looks like a problem. That means you have something in you that can change that problem to become a miracle. And when you look at things differently and stop looking at them from the negative side, you'll find out that you thrive. You are not a victim, my friend. Never adopt a victim mentality. Oh, this thing is against me. Oh, this looks like it's not going to work. Oh, before you know it, you have adopted a victim mentality that increases unbelief in your heart. And you always look at what you don't have. John comes to Jesus and he sent the disciples to Jesus. He said to Jesus, are you the one or should we expect another one? So Jesus sent the disciples back of John and said, listen, go tell John the blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised. Now, John expected Jesus because Jesus' mandate was set the captives free. And John is in prison and he expects Jesus to do his job. And if he's not set free, he's not really happy about it. Hello? Every time you look at what you don't have, what has not been done, it undermines your faith in God. Always look at what God is doing in your life and around your life. Don't look at what he is not doing. Look at what he is doing. And then you will always be encouraged to step into greater heights. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Always remember this, my friends. You are not here. Listen, I always tell people this. I'm not from heaven and my end is not heaven. Simple as that. I am from God and my end is God. Heaven is a place. God is a being. My root is God, not heaven. Heaven, what makes heaven heaven is what? The presence of God. And what happens is Jesus prayed a prayer. You know, people say this. How many of you want to know the will of God concerning your life? How many of you want to know the will of God? You know, the will of God is simply this, as it is in heaven, so let it be on earth. Is there sickness in heaven? No. Is there poverty in heaven? No. Is there anything? That's why Jesus said, cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, and all that. That's the will of God. He wants you to do that. That's what he wants you to do. Hello? Is it the will of God for me to marry this person? I mean, sometimes we ask some kind of weird questions, you know. Is it the will of God for me to marry this kind of person and stuff like that? Very few times, very few people, you'll find out God said, go and marry that person. Because many a times, marriage is a personal responsibility. Somebody say amen. Only one man in the Bible that I know of, God told him to go marry somebody, and he was supposed to go marry the prostitute. I was like, that's the one man I know. God said, go marry that lady. And it was, God was using him as a revelation of himself and marrying you when you are running away from him. Hello? I mean, if God said, okay, go marry that person, we expect everything to be hunky-dory, nice, good. I have this problem because there are a lot of people who say, God said I should marry that person, and then they divorce later, they walk away. Did God lie? Do I make any sense? Did God really lie?
Come on.
I mean, why? Even if they say, God said I should marry, we experience the same problems, even like the people in the world. Yeah, those of you who are married, you know what I'm talking about. There are days in the house you talk and there's no scripture involved. There's no Bible verse. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, yeah, when it is, certain times when things are heated up, it's like there is no, that saith the Lord. It's like, you're getting on my last nerve. Just leave me alone. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So when I looked at these guys, really the passion they have, I'll tell you this, you know, hanging around these guys, I mean, they have blessed me. And in really, I always had the passion for God. But when I saw the passion in these guys, it really challenged me to a different height, to a different pursuit of God. Like there's something more. There's something greater. I'm supposed to move from glory to glory. I'm supposed to move from what? Glory to glory. That means if it was wonderful yesterday, it has to be more wonderful tomorrow. And if it is wonderful, you see, the problem is, it's like even with revivals, why they end, what happens is that people have the tendency of celebrating just what God did today and lose the perspective of God, that the government of God has no end and we have to move from glory to glory. As much as God does something that is wonderful today, we rejoice over it. But tomorrow, we can no longer try to rejoice on that thing and sit on it. We have to hunger for more than what we had yesterday to keep on moving and going ahead and going ahead. Because if we camp here, we're going to end up putting our little dirty hands on what God is doing. We're going to end up trying to control it. Somebody say rise. Somebody say rise higher. Somebody say rise higher. I always say this, Christianity is not a journey forward, it's a journey backward. Yeah, we try to make it journey forward, but it's a journey backward. That's why we're told about restoration. You are restored to what it used to be like before you messed up. That's why the scripture that Jesus said, Father, the glory I had with you before. So he restored back to that glory. Hello? That's why everything you hear, restoration, restitution, repent, and all that is re. That means re, it used to be that way. It was lost, so we have to get back to it. And when we understand that, somebody say amen. So I have been on the subject really for the past year and some half. I've been on the subject of really sonship. I've been on the subject of sonship, sons of God. Sons has nothing to do with gender. When we deal with sonship, it has nothing to do with gender. To the world, when we say somebody is a son, we're looking at a male. But to God, he's not looking at a male. He's looking at somebody who has come to maturity in the character of God and the nature of God and the power of God and the glory of God. Hello? Now, in Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 27, this is how this whole thing started to revolutionize my life. In Matthew chapter 11, verse number 27, the scripture says this, only the Father knows the Son, and only the Son knows the Father, and the Son will reveal the Father to whomever he wills. In other words, sons have the ability to reveal the Father. And one thing that this world we live in wants to see is they want to see God. Hello? The kingdom of God is left to sons. The church is left to the five offices. Because we are told in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse number 20 that there's five offices that he gives unto men. Some apostles, preachers, and whatever, pastors, evangelists, for the what? For the perfecting of what? The church itself. To the work of the ministry. But sons, Jesus is a son, he comes to bring the kingdom. The offices deals with the church, but sons deal with the kingdom. They have gone beyond just the church, but they understand the rule of their father because they possess the attributes of their father. And every time they stand and people don't see them, they see the rulership of the father. The five offices are concerned just about, you know, folks and stuff like that. And let's do this. Let's establish this. Let's put this together. And somehow, somewhere, we have to grow beyond just church as usual. We have to get to a place that when we sit inside this room, we are not just coming here to try to get some stuff, but all of us here, we are open to God. What happens? In the book of Genesis 28, we see Jacob is sleeping and he wakes up and he says, I've been sleeping in the house of God and I didn't realize that this is the house of God. What did he say? In other words, there are people who are in church and they don't realize that they are in the presence of God and they are sleeping. You understand what I'm saying to you? And then he says this after that. Let's just go there for a moment. Genesis 28. Genesis 28. Hallelujah. Let's read it from verse number 16. And he says this, and Jacob awakened out of his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. Somebody said the Lord is here. Say the Lord is in new wine. So in other words, stop sleeping so that you know that the Lord is in new wine. You have to stop what? Sleeping and know that the Lord is where? In new wine. Are you hearing me? Somebody say amen. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. Say, this is the house of God. Somebody said, this is the house of God. And then he said this, and this is the gate of what? Heaven. Say, this is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. In other words, the house of God is supposed to be the gate of heaven. This guy has a revelation in the old covenant what really the house of God is all about. The gate of what? Heaven. The gate of the reality of God. The gate of the presence of God. The gate of the glory of God. Now we move from there. Now we understand in the old covenant, it was a house made out of hands. But in the new covenant, you are the house of God. So if you're the house of God, you are the gate of heaven. So if you're the gate of heaven, that means everywhere you go to, you are open for heaven to invade that place. You are open for the glory of God to invade that place. So you are no longer a victim. There is nothing that is bad inside of you. Have you seen anything unholy in the house of God? Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Now, I do understand we have to live holy lives. But trying to live holy by trying to make yourself out of the flesh, there is a problem. This Christianity is about belief. It's about believing in God. So I believe I'm a saint. I'm saved, sanctified, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That means anything that was horrible in my life is out. Now God resides in this temple. So everything that comes, I must avail myself for God to release himself through me. Somebody say amen. So when you enter everywhere you go into the gas station, you go into the grocery store, you go everywhere you go. That means you are the gate of heaven. Heaven has invaded that place. You must know that. And when you walk with that consciousness, you will find out that the Holy Ghost is free to walk through you. The people that you see all the time that are sick, that are crippled inside the grocery store, you can walk to them and say, lady, God has smiled on you today. And you say, how? You say, you are about to receive a miracle directly from heaven. They say, how? You say, this hand is the hand of the Almighty God. When I lay it on you, there is the release of the glory for you to rise up and to do what? And to walk.
Yay! Woo! Woo! Hallelujah!
Somebody say amen. Look at him and say, I'm the gate of heaven.
I am the gate of heaven. Woo!
Yeah. Hallelujah. Everybody saw how God good is, how the glory of God is when they saw Jesus, because Jesus was open to the Father for the Father to release things through him. That's why he says, that which I say is not mine, I'm just simply a gate for the Father to release whatever he wants to release through my life. Hallelujah. Stop sleeping. Hallelujah. Because when you sleep, many a times, you are more concerned about this flesh on the outside. Hello? Relate to God. Have a relationship with God. Always cry for a passionate walk with God, a passionate intimacy with God, a walk with God. And understand this one thing, that your intimacy with God, people can reap from that intimacy. Because the more you turn to God, there is something that overflows through your life. It is the presence is activated all the time when in the presence of God. Sometimes the people will get healed without laying hands on them. You're just passing by them and things happen in their lives. Why? Because they partook on the fruit that came as a result of your intimate moment with God. Your thoughts, your actions, every time you move, always be conscious of God. Always commune with God. Always walk with God. Are you hearing me? Look at Jesus. He's just walking. He's not even paying attention to who is touching him and stuff like that until one woman reached out and touched him from behind. And he said, "Who touched me?" What happened? Jesus was in an intimate moment with God, but somebody interrupted the intimacy he shared with God and say, "Who touched me?" Look at Peter, out of intimacy. I mean, people were brought for his shadow to go over people out of intimacy. He didn't have to lay hands on them. Why? Because your shadow will always resemble what overshadows you. Hello? New wine, you have the glory of God here. Let it out.
Yeah, come on.
Somebody say amen. Amen. Let it out. I know that you are taught here. You are fed here. Are you hearing me? Some of you have to get to a place whereby you lose a little bit of weight. Because spiritually, you are obese. Somebody say amen. Some of you, I mean, it's been like, well, I just had to go and just kind of get a little bit of what he has to say. I need a blessing. I hope pastor today say something that could really help me for a couple of days and stuff like that. Come on, you fat joker, you have to kind of like, you know, get yourself together. I mean, you don't need any other chicken nuggets. You have all kind of bacons all over your greasy mouth has been eating too long. You have to do something. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's go out on a healing campaign. Let's go out on miracles campaign. That we could walk out on a Saturday, and it's not just that we are going to lead people to the Lord, but we're going to invade this area with the miracles, with the signs, with the wonders. Let us believe that we carry the power and the glory to heal, the power and the glory to change situations around. Let's walk out with that and not say, well, will it work when I lay hand on people or not? Mm-mm. 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 No, my friends. Hello? You don't have to know this whole Bible before you can demonstrate the glory of God. That which has been taught to you, take it very seriously and work on it. If you are waiting to know this whole Bible before God can use you, you will die before you do anything. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I don't know anybody who had known this whole Bible, every revelation in this Bible, and they're still alive today. I don't know anybody. Somebody say amen. I really don't. I mean, that which your pastor gives you, take it very seriously. If it is possible, the first few days, Like it's Sunday, after you receive a word from your pastor, on a Sunday night, midnight, get on a fast. Take that word that has been given to you by pastor. Get on a fast for a day or two and say, Lord, I must see the fruit of this word. I must testify of this word that has been released upon my life on Sunday afternoon when I went to church. I am going to have an encounter for this. I must experience it. I'm not just going to be the one of those who take it, put it on the shelf, and go about the whole week as if they never had anything. I need to see the results of this word. I'm telling you, when you begin to do that, you'll see your heart open. You'll see the passion. You'll begin to see things happen, breakthroughs, and joy will fill your heart. And every Sunday when you walk through that door, it is like glory to God. And they say, what? You say, God is good. They say, how is it good? You say, you remember what Pastor taught about on Sunday? You say, yes. You know what happened this week? I have a testimony concerning that word. I have this. God did this and he did this. I know it works. I know it does what? It works. So every Sunday, you are fired up to go to church because you know it works. Some of you are not fired to go to church on Sunday because it looks like ain't nothing going on. But when you know something is going on Sunday, you are ready to walk out of your house and you are not what? You don't hold it back. You look at your neighbor, you say, the Lord is good. They hear you singing every day. They say, what's wrong? You say, follow me. There is something going on in the church where I go to. Come and what? Receive.
Yeah. Amen.
Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. But if nothing happens and you just take the word and put it in the shelf, you're going to find yourself, you don't care whether these chairs are empty because it looks like nothing is happening. But when things are happening, you wouldn't want any chair to be empty because you will want everybody out there to experience the miracles you are experiencing inside the house of God. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Say from today. Miracles upon miracles. In my life. In my life. In my life. In my life. Somebody say breakthroughs. Somebody say breakthroughs. Somebody say breakthroughs. Look at neighbor, say neighbor. This place is going to grow and expand because of the miracles and the breakthroughs that will happen here in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody shout amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. You are picked out for a miracle. You are picked out for what? A miracle. God brought you here and he knew that every problem you have, he has a solution in this place. And look at it very seriously. You are not just here to wait so that we can sing sweet bye bye and you are going to heaven. That's not the deal. Some of you have prayed to die. Oh, you ain't going nowhere. Lord, kill me, Lord, kill me. I can't take it anymore. Get me out of here. You ain't going anywhere. Hallelujah. I mean, if this thing was all about the great escape going to heaven, God should have done two ministries. One, evangelism. Two, the ministry of assassinations. So by the time you get saved, and of course, if God had, if there were only those two ministries, I would have chosen the assassination one because, I'll be an assassinator. And I do. In other words, after every one of you accept Jesus Christ, I'll be standing by the sword. I say, come on, let's get going. I'll be cutting off your heads. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? If God is all about the great escape, you should get born again and somebody shoot you and you go to heaven, period. Hallelujah. And somebody said, do you like violence? I say, well, I don't know. When I was in the world, I used to fight a lot. So, amen. Somebody say amen. I used to like fighting a lot when I was in the world. I even one day I was angry at the church, at the people at the church. And I say, years back, I said, Lord, why didn't you allow me to live in the Old Testament? He said, why? I said, in the Old Testament, we didn't have to give anyone grace. If they misbehave, we kill them.
Hello? I say, if I was Moses that time in the wilderness and you say, let me kill everybody and then I'll start the nation with you, I would have said, amen. And you know what the Lord said? The Lord has a sense of humor. You know what he said to me? He said, if I allowed you to live in the Old Testament, you would have been the first one to be killed. And I said, oh, yeah, oh, Lord, thank you. Praise the Lord. But seriously, friends, let me say this to you. Many a times, and I've shared this with the people in our church, and I shared it with them all the time. I said, listen, you get distracted easily. You come from church, you received a word from church, and you get home throughout the week, something happens to distract you and to steal from that which God has spoken to you. And you start moving away from what God has spoken to you, and you listen to what circumstances tell you that week. And you start getting drawn to those circumstances and forget what God has told you. And it looks like it's something that happens week after week in people's lives. And they are complaining that they are not seeing the miraculous in their lives. And they fail to see that it looks like the enemy is stealing from them all the time. All the time. If they will pay attention to what God has said to them on that Sunday or that Wednesday when they came to church and focus on that and not lose that, it will build such a strong foundation for them of belief in God, because God will see that they are more interested in Him than what is happening around them. And then what happened? God will release His presence and His power around them, and you'll find out that the very thing that was challenging you gets solved without praying about it. And then not only will those things get solved, the people themselves will start growing in their relationship with God. Hello? And every time you're interested in that, the more the encounters happen. In my life, I've had so many encounters. I've had visitations. I mean, you hear people talk about angels. I've seen angels over and over many times. A couple of weeks ago, or a month ago, I was in India, and I was, every day God woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, because I've been troubled for a long time by this. How can Lord Enoch walk with you for 300 years without the break of the fellowship? Now, you see, when I read the Bible and I hear about Moses' face shining, I hear Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration shining, I don't just celebrate that. I become jealous. I say, Lord, why can't I have it? I need it too. It is not just something to talk about. It is something I must experience. I want the experience of this thing. I want to know how this thing works. How can this guy walk with you 300 years? And it looks like many a times as I walk with you, there is some break of fellowship. How was he able to maintain it? And he was living in the old covenant. We live in the new covenant. Are you hearing me? Why can't I experience this walk, this fellowship that is cannot be broken? And God started waking me up at 3 o'clock in the morning and praying, and I'm wondering. I say, man, this is not fair. I mean, like, I was complaining about the waking up in the morning, actually at 3 o'clock in the morning. But, you know, this is not fair. But finally, one day, after, when I finished praying, I'm sitting on the bed, and I had this vision, and there is this guy called Sadhu Selvaraj. He lives in India. And this guy is talking to me, and he's talking about the vision he has, or the visitation he has, you know, seeing the living creatures in heaven. And while he's talking about this, all of a sudden, this whole picture comes. I mean, this whole vision of the living creatures come into my face. And it's just kind of, it's crazy, you know, like it's just kind of wild. And I say, and all of a sudden, now I see Enoch. Now it's crazy. And I say to God, Lord, I'm not going to talk with the dead. Hello?
And here's what the Lord said to me. He says, I'm not the God of the dead. I'm the God of the living. And I said, how will I explain this to people? And he said, Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration and he was talking to Moses and Elijah. And I say, okay. And he said, first of all, understand the veil has been torn into two. The devil who used to think he rules the second heaven, the heavens are open now. That means there's no distance between where you are and heaven. You can enter any moment, any time you want to, if you are available to me. I can reveal all the stuff. Anyway, how are you going to bring heaven to earth when you are not experiencing how heaven is like? Hello? So instead of changing my name, I'm not saying try to go to those guys that are crazy that are on TV and say, I hear them on the other side. They say they love you. Your mother on the other side, they say they love you. I'm not saying go listen to that kind of stuff. That's nonsense. Are you hearing me? You know, those people who talk with the dead or whatever, dead, whatever. You know, I'm not saying go, what's the other lady name? Oh, Lord Jesus, that woman need deliverance. Thank God. Somebody say amen. I'm not saying go do that. But what I'm simply saying to you, I'm not saying go look for that. If it happens to you with God, it happens to you with God. You don't look for it. You just simply concentrate on the scripture and walk with God and build yourself in the word of God. Build yourself and listen to the pastor here when he preaches. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? You must always value the man God has placed in your life instead of running around getting all different kind of information from different people. Sometimes the problem you run into is you listen to too many people and you get confused during the week. The man God has placed in front of you is the one God will release that which you need to hear at the moment you're supposed to hear it to build you up. I'm not saying you cannot be blessed by somebody on the outside. They can bless you. Are you hearing me? But what I'm simply saying is value the word of your pastor first. It's very, very important. If your pastor is counseling you, don't go look for somebody else to try to counsel you. You're going to run into confusion if you do that. Because those people don't know you. Hello? Somebody say amen. I said this. That's why everywhere I've gone and everywhere I've preached, some people try to get my phone number and say, no way. Forget it. No way. I already have crazy people in the church that I pastor. I don't need anyone else. I already have crazy enough people. I don't need any other thing to add on my plate. Praise the Lord. I say, you look at me, I'm even planning on ruining that and on putting that whole church together and giving it to the guy who has been assisting me so that I can be on the road. Hello? Because I know you give too much headache. Hello? I mean, headache happens in you, in your own house. The next thing you say, let's look for Pastor Josh's number. Hello? Pastor, I don't know. This headache since 1 o'clock this afternoon has been just hitting on me. I don't know. Pastor, can you pray for me? I usually say this. I say, what? Did you call me for headache? He say, yeah. I say, okay. And I say, so all these years that I've been sharing the word, you've not been listening, eh? So they get mad at me. They really do. I'll tell you that. They really do. There's some people who left our church because I said that. Really do. I'm telling you. There are people who have left our church because they felt like, you know, I didn't want to talk to them. The truth is, I know a whole lot of people around the world that if I were to talk to every single one of them, I'll not have time to pray, I'll not have time to study the Word of God, I'll not have time to spend with God. Hallelujah.
And I do understand it is, and I rebuke them all the time. And I say this to them. I say, listen, I finish preaching, and after I finish preaching, somebody comes and they want to talk about their problem. I say, what did I just say? I just finished preaching. I mean, what do you want me to say? What more else do I do? You want me to start over another sermon again? Hello? I just gave you something that will change your life. And if you did not understand it, it gives you the opportunity to get into your house and stay away from Denny's and IHOP and Perkins. Somebody say amen. Or Chinese buffet or whatever it might be. Because like what Christians like to eat there. You know, when you go there on Sunday afternoon, boy, they don't care about Buddha. They don't care whether Buddha is fed on top of the table. Oh, they'll just walk in there. I mean, just like. And then what they do is, Father, we bless this food, cover them with the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and eat. And some of you eat some of this stuff. I mean, some of those things you eat is not chicken. Some of them is cat and dog. And you don't understand that. You really don't know that. And some of you don't know that. I'm telling you. I mean, some of you have eaten so many cats, you are unbelievable. And you ask people, have you eaten a cat before? They say, no. How many times have you been to the Chinese buffet? So many times. I mean, people's pets are missing all the time. Because you don't even pay attention to the taste when you are eating, because everybody is talking, praise the Lord, hallelujah, wow, wow. Hallelujah, amen. Amen. No, I'm not joking, I'm telling you the truth. There's somebody that I know of who is a Chinese guy. He told me that, well, sometimes we increase business. Praise the Lord. So I am done with the Chinese buffet, and I'm done. I'm really done. I'm done. Some of you have eaten dogs and all different kinds of stuff. You don't even know what you ate. I just don't know why. After I ate last time, I'm just not feeling good. Do you think it was that chicken? No, it wasn't chicken. It was a cat. Do you think it was just chicken? Yeah, I think so. It had a little funny taste. I don't know. Praise the Lord. So what I'm asking you to do, friends, is look at how many of us we are in this room. As much as you give offerings to the church, some of you should get to a place where you gather as a community and say, Christians like to eat every Sunday after church. Why can't we gather together and put a couple of bucks together, find a restaurant, open it, and do a buffet for it, and people come in. Instead of giving money to Buddha, they could give it to this restaurant where we can have orphanages, where we can have different kind of things to sponsor. I mean, many of you are okay just to come and give $5 and go spend 15 bucks or 20 bucks to buy a cat. I mean, and give the money to Buddha. You know, I just kind of like, I mean, I'm just being real here. Let's just kind of get it together. Amen.
Somebody say amen. No, seriously, let me ask you a question. I mean, all the money you spend buying those cats and those dogs, I mean, you could have gathered it together one way or the other, and we did something. And we did something. Hello? And we did something. In the book of Acts, they were all one community. Everything was for everybody. When you have that kind of a thing and Christians comes in, it's blessed. It releases much. If one of you has no money to pay the rent, it comes from the restaurant and it goes there. People get pay their rents, and people, children, our children, we don't have to struggle about college fees. Because college fees are set apart and we have one thing in common, and that which beats in our hearts is to demonstrate God's glory and God's presence everywhere we go. Hello? But we choose to support Buddha. We do. We choose to support one guy who is at Perkins or IHOP or something like that, who is going to take the money that you have labored hard for and use it for what? For immoral stuff. And you don't realize that you are a partaker in that, because you supported this guy. And the very place where you're receiving the word of life, what did you do? I mean, some of you leave a tip in those places more than the offering you give a church. The church is not campaigning for money. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? The church will prosper even if you decide to keep your money in your pocket. But the whole thing is for you to be a gate of heaven where you release the glory of God. It's not just about me and my family. It's about the community. It's about the neighborhood that you live in, how much you can affect it and change it. Every one of us in this room, we trust this man and this woman of God, we trust them. And we can get to a place whereby, okay, let's have a combined vision where we can change a place. And we need finances. And we realize that just a couple of bucks we put in the offering are not enough. We can set up something. All of us can set up something that can change everything. There are buildings that are empty right now, that are restaurants that are empty, that we can set them up and begin to have what? People have prayer breakfasts and stuff like that. They come there and they come and become a blessing there, least up. We don't have to hire people from outside. Some of you, when you are not at work, some of you can cook and put stuff together and put it on the table and people eat and all that, and we are all together. Hello? Somebody say amen. And we understand that every penny that could have supported some immoral guy who is crazy on the other side, we could put it into the house of God and do what? And set up something that is good. Hello? All of you here know how to cook, know how to bake. Hallelujah. There are a lot of you here, some of you, when you get married, you go look for some people on the other side. I mean, you go pay thousands of dollars on the other side when there are people inside the church who know how to bake. That if they have something, they could put the wedding together. And that money that you could have poured out to somebody else, it comes into the house of God. And you'll find out that money, you're not even paying. It's a seed sown that go and help all those children and everybody on the outside. You see, the problem is we don't know who we are. If we understood that we are the people who carry the glory of God and we're supposed to release it, we will understand that there are a lot of things that we support that we're not supposed to. That we contribute to the destruction of our neighborhood by supporting certain things that the person who owns them is a curse in that neighborhood. Hello? Amen. Do you know how much potential is in this room right now?
Oh, yes.
Hello?
Yes.
There's potential in this room. We don't need to have 5,000 people before we do that. Hallelujah. Every time I've come to this house, I see a family. You're not just people who come to church. I see a family. A family that can stand together and become one person that releases the glory of God into this area. And you can. Hello? Somebody say, we can. I'm not talking about our President Obama. Say, we can. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said, glory to God. I mean, some of the stuff that we see and things like that, and you see, we ask questions. Why do bad things happen? Because we don't realize that for years, people who came before us have been supporting this immoral stuff without really knowing they're supporting them. And every time something goes for a long time without correction of it, and we keep on falling on it, one day judgment is going to come. And it might not, the judgment might not come to the people who started it. It might come to the people after five generations. And we wonder, why did it happen? Because they say, God gives a long rope of repentance that if this one misbehaves, probably the next generation that come might rectify this problem. And if we keep on going on with it, going on with it, going on with it, we find out that it looks like innocent people get hurt. Why did they get hurt? It's not as much of just them getting judged, but it's because there has been wickedness that has been going on in that land or in that nation for too long, and God has to act. The only unfortunate thing is somebody who is innocent had to be there at the time when judgment was released for that particular thing. And we have to get to a place where we change things. And when we relate to God, God opens our eyes to these things. And we can reverse them. You're not just a church to come to church on Sunday morning. You are a church to relate to God so that you can change this world we live in. How long? Amen. Look at our leaders. What do? They do crazy stuff. You voted for them. You know, when you voted for the person, you might not agree with abortion, but if you vote for him and they do it, you are the partaker. You encourage the thing. Because you put the person there. Am I making sense to you? Every mess they do, you are the partaker of that mess. You contributed to it because you put your vote. When judgment comes, it's not just to the people. It's to eradicate the wickedness that has been going on in the atmosphere. And if you are there, you become like Lot, who is in a place where there's a mess and he didn't do nothing about it. Hello? It gets judged, and he thinks he is saved from it when he walks out. And he doesn't realize that his whole generation will be enemies of God because of being birthed out of incest. Let's rise up to our responsibility. You can change this world. You have the ability to change it. You have the ability to reveal the Father. You have the ability to reveal God to the nations that we live in, to the people that you live in, to the neighborhood that you live in. You are not Christian by name. You are Christian by demonstration. That's my cry to you.
You can quote as much as you want, but if it is not demonstrated, you just look like any other hypocrite. Out of all what I said, this is what I'm asking. Out of everything I said, this is all I'm asking. Begin to hunger for the encounters with God. And everything about you will change. This man doesn't just come here and sit in front of you and talk to you without having an encounter and receiving something from the Lord. He will read the word, and all of a sudden there's an encounter. How? This word will sometimes reach to his heart, or a vision or an encounter of the illumination within the heart, and he sees it, and he wants to release the heart of God to you and the face of God to you. And you must desire that. Then you will take everything done here very seriously. And you will know the reason why these chairs, people must sit in them. That it is not just because it is written, but because you've experienced the goodness of God and you have the heart to see every soul experience the goodness of God. If it is just written, you won't care. You get out of it. But if it is a touch of the goodness of God in your heart, when the leprous guys saw the goodness of God and they were eating, and they were forgetting, they said, we cannot leave those guys alone there. We have to go and tell them, because they have to experience what we are experiencing. When we begin to hunger for encounters of God, don't throw the word given to you every Sunday on the shelf and do your own thing. Take it, pray throughout it, through the week, and you'll see experiences. And when you begin to testify, we will see a smile every day in your face. You will be solid. You will see the presence of God surround you. And circumstances will start running away from you. And then everywhere you enter, things will work out for you. Favor will follow you. Goodness will follow you. Mercy will follow you. Signs and wonders will follow you. The whole thing is to build you up to a place where you are so complete that circumstances are afraid of you. That's the whole thing. That everywhere you enter where there is a problem recognizes the presence you carry. Jesus, when he showed up, demons recognized the presence. Sickness is recognized that presence. That's the only thing that we're trying to build you up to. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I love all of you.
We love you.
I had not come really intending to preach, but every time you come to this house, because I love it, it's been a blessing to me. These guys are one of the most beautiful people I know. I love them dearly. And I felt like I just have to visit them. I haven't been to the new place they've been to. I just have to go there and just fellowship with them. You are family. We are family. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you know that song? We are family. That's how it is. And it is another song I love. It says, the other song I love, it says, it's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. How many of you know that song? Some of you don't know that song. Oh, Lord, help you. Pastor Josh, I'm done. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you.